Hey, welcome in, everyone. Great to have you along here on Hockey Central. David Amber filling in for Jeff Merrick as well. Justin Bourne along for the ride. And it's going to be a fun hour because we're going to be welcoming in Gord Stellick in just a matter of moments. And I can't wait to get his thoughts on the looming Leafs versus Habs playoff series. It'd be the first one since 1979. As well, in the second half hour, Marty Turco from the Dallas Stars will join us. And Marty and the Stars in quite a run right now, quite a race for that fourth and final playoff spot against the Nashville Predators. We'll get to the bottom of that. Justin, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Amber. How are you doing yourself?
I'm doing well. The rain has stopped. That was quite a storm for 10 minutes or so.
You said your daughter got caught up?
She was out walking. She still is out walking the dog. I hope she's okay. I hope she had an arc on her because it was coming down pretty hard.
Kayaking home.
Yeah, that's right. You know what's pretty cool is the Stanley Cup playoff picture. It's continuing to crystallize. Last night, wins by both Florida and Tampa. They've clinched playoff spots. So now we have six of our 16 teams. 10 more teams need to punch their ticket. Carolina, Florida, Tampa, Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota. So the top three teams in the West, the top three teams in the Central, have all punched their ticket. Carolina actually leads the National Hockey League now in points. They had an impressive win last night against Dallas. Are you starting to look at them maybe, Justin, as a top team, as an actual Stanley Cup contender?
Yeah, no, I love Carolina. I love their build. I think they're sneaky just with the amount of talent on the team, and then they get a great back end. They're very solid on the back end, and they play in that Rod Brind'Amour mentality. They play a pretty tenacious game. Like, it's a pretty vicious combo and really tough to put away. They're perfectly suited to what I would call today's NHL. By the way, Tom Dundon, tough spot there. Rod Brind'Amour's got to get that money at some point, but he doesn't seem too eager to give it.
Well, he said yesterday, I don't plan on owning a team without Rod Brind'Amour as the head coach. So either that means he's going to give him a new contract or Brind'Amour is going to go to Seattle and Dundon's going to buy Seattle. So one of those two things is likely to happen. So Carolina right now leading the NHL in points. They've punched their ticket. Vegas has a 9-game winning streak. If they win tonight against Colorado, which should be a great matchup, Vegas will take over top spot in the National Hockey League. They're on a 9-game winning streak. It's pretty crazy. The top six teams right now that have punched their tickets, you could argue that the most impressive and important race right now is for first in the Central between Carolina, Florida, and Tampa, because if you finish second or third, you're in for a really tough first-round matchup.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting trends around the league is that Victor Hedman has kind of been struggling of late. You know, for the past month or so, the Lightning have been heavily outscored with him on the ice. Last I had read, it was like 17-8, you know, when he's on the ice. And, you know, John Cooper mentioned that as he goes, they go. And so him not being great puts them in a tough spot where they may have to play two really tough series to come out of the division, which is, you know, it's good for everyone else, but bad for defending a title. So very interesting division. Tampa remains the favorite until I'm told otherwise. But, yeah, they're in a tough spot.
It's so funny because going into these new divisional alignments, most everyone said, oh, my goodness, the Central looks pretty weak. You have Tampa. And, you know, you've got some okay teams, Carolina, Florida, Nashville, Dallas. And now it looks like it might be the strongest division just based on the strength of those top three teams, Carolina, Florida, and Tampa. So for those listening wanting to know what about the Leafs playoff situation, well, a Vancouver loss in regulation today against the Ottawa Senators, coupled with a Leafs win versus the Montreal Canadiens tonight, and the Leafs will clinch a playoff spot. So that's what it's going to take. It's just a matter of time, but it could be as early as tonight. The Leafs clinch a playoff spot as they try and zoom towards a North Division title. A few notes worth pointing out before we welcome in Gord Stellick, Leaf Nation's pre- and post-game analyst, who's going to join us in just a matter of seconds. Setting up to tonight's Leafs-Habs game, Jonathan Drouin, an indefinite leave of absence for personal reasons from the team. So we hope Jonathan Drouin the best in that situation, whatever it might be. And Tyler Toffoli this morning skating on a line with Nick Suzuki at center and Cole Caulfield on the other flank. So that's going to be a very interesting line to keep an eye on tonight.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? You know, we had PJ Stock on yesterday, and I asked him, I said, if Montreal beats Toronto in the first round of playoffs, what happened? And he says Nick Suzuki found his game again. Yeah. And that was a big thing for him. And, you know, he's a lot of the Habs' future rests on guys like him becoming not just contributors, but important players. So if he can find his stride, it would be on a line like that. Obviously, Cole Caulfield, someone that Montreal is very excited about being given an opportunity to have success rather than just like getting bit minutes on the fourth line. It's the best case scenario for the team and him, I think.
It's going to be really interesting, but we are spinning towards a Habs versus Leafs playoff showdown for the first time since 1979, which is the perfect segue to welcome in our first guest, Gord Stellick, Leaf Nation pre- and post-game analyst. You'll be hearing him all over the Sportsnet 590 The Fan tonight. Gord, welcome into Hockey Central with Justin Bourne and David Amber. 1979, Gord, what were you doing back in 1979?
I was there for all the games at home. I was working part-time for the Toronto Maple Leafs, so working, doing the press notes and statistics by day, going to University of Toronto by day, and then fortunate to be working the game. So I remember that four-game series very well. They battled Montreal really hard. They really did. Mike Pommentier got hurt, so Paul Harrison had to come in. So it was a four-game sweep, which looks bad when you're swept in four, but it was one they battled. I remember Tiger Williams, man, oh, man, he was so pissed off after getting a penalty when Montreal scored in overtime. If he could have got Bob Myers, he would have killed him. I mean, it's the Montreal Canadiens. You've seen that clip many times that I think Larry Robinson and Bob Gainey catch him first as he's skating angrily towards Bob Myers after being released from the penalty box, and then guys like Sittler and that calm him down.
Tiger not really known for his temper. I'm surprised to hear that story. It would be a lot of fun. We thought in 93 we were going to get the Leafs and Habs for a Stanley Cup, which would have been the ultimate. But at this point, we'll certainly settle for a first-round matchup. You know, what would be your biggest concern for Toronto going into a first-round matchup against Montreal?
Well, it's funny. First, you know, what you guys were touching on a bit, I think this is a with Cole Caulfield and that, and who knows if Spencer Knight say starts in Florida. Like, I think this could be a year that guys coming out of junior, the AHL, NCAA, you know, could, like Cale Makar did last year, could have a lot of impact in the playoffs. I wouldn't say Cole Caulfield would have beat them. I think flat out, David and Justin, like, this is the Leafs series to win. You got to show up. You got to do what you've been doing all season. You set the table, the template really well from game one of the regular season, which you failed to do last year, and that carried on with just a malaise, just a vacuum that of a lack of everything you want in the playoffs against Columbus. And if you get that mojo, and I've liked the statement they made the last couple of games about, yeah, you know, we're going to hit the playoffs playing the way we did the regular season, which means being the best team in our division.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Do you see a scenario where Rasmus Sandin plays himself into this Leafs top six or is one of the guys for game one of the playoffs?
Justin, I didn't understand why I know he was hurt, but I don't understand why he fell so much off the radar. Like last year in training camp, he had that one Friday night game in Detroit. Remember, he played about 28 minutes or something ridiculous?
Right.
And then I know there was a physical game, I think, also against Detroit in the regular season, and he kind of just disappeared. So, I mean, you drafted the guy in the first round. I liked what I've seen in the past. So, absolutely, absolutely. And you're going to need the depth because all of a sudden the Leafs have been very fortunate with injuries, but they're starting to creep in a little bit. So I like the compete factor there. And, of course, everyone loves that bump, right? Everyone loves the kind of Jaromir Jagr, Peter Forsberg bump that caught everyone by surprise. Just that little bit of edge. You don't need Nazem Kadri running to someone's defense, but you do need everyone, whatever their little bit of edge is, whether it's Joe Thornton getting annoyed and taking issue with something on one side, or Rasmus Sandin that most people said, I didn't know he could be physical at all out there and showing his stuff.
You mentioned the health of the Leafs, and that's so key. And I have to imagine the number one priority in these final eight games, four versus Montreal, two versus Fan, one versus Winnipeg, one versus Ottawa, is just to stay healthy and to get healthy. So we're under the assumption we'll be seeing Zach Hyman before the regular season ends and Mikheyev before the regular season ends. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Gord. How would you line this team up? What would your lineup be for the Leafs? Because if everyone's healthy, some guys aren't going to be playing, some guys aren't going to be on the top two lines. How would you, if you had everything in your arsenal, how would you set up the Leafs' lines going towards the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, a good comparable, Zach Hyman and Brendan Gallagher, right? About two really integral pieces that both teams would like to have come back to the playoffs. You know, to answer your question, see, they have not won a playoff round, we know, forever. But you're looking at the big Picasso out there winning 16 games and winning a Stanley Cup. And I look at what Craig Berube did that year, that there were, 14, 15, 16 forwards playing 12 spots. Vegas has done that quite a bit, you know. And I like that flexibility about, and he seemed to have the knack of putting somebody in for a game or two and then they're out again, but they, you know, they make an impression. And that's why, you know, we need the Leafs. Sheldon Keefe has said, you know, we need more from the depth guys. He said that last year in the regular season. They certainly didn't get it in the playoff bubble against Columbus. And it's been a little bit hit and miss at times during this regular season. So, you know, roles for Joe Thornton, roles for Wayne Simmonds as far as the veterans go. You know, can a Mikheyev, if he's healthy, can he finish off things? I really think that there's a lot that Sheldon Keefe's going to look to be flexible about those lines. And you take a look at Nick Foligno. Okay, is he your first-line left winger, or is he your third-line center all of a sudden? Like all the different things that he can do that way. So, but then if Hyman came back, I'd put him back with Matthews and Marner. I mean,
so
that would
I.
be my yeah.
So
that would be my one go-to, and then you kind of let it go from there.
Yeah, it's good to have options, hey Justin.
Yeah, no, that's I mean, certainly the beauty of where they're at right now is that they've got the depth to really mix things up, and you like a number of different looks. My question then, just because you have all these looks, I guess, is about rest versus rust heading into the playoffs and how you best position this team to play game one. I think back to Tampa Bay after winning the President's Trophy, you know, plays Columbus, gets punched in the mouth in the first round and gets knocked out. And a lot of people said it was because they didn't play enough meaningful hockey and that it was like coming off a beach. It wasn't hard enough. Where do you stand on how the Leafs should operate coming down the stretch here? Should they have all their guys in the lineup and playing hockey? Should they have Joe Thornton in the press box getting rested up? What's the best way to operate here?
Well, yeah, it's funny. I mean, what a different year, too. I mean, I think the mental fatigue is way more an issue this year than the physical fatigue. Because, I mean, it's actually when you're on the road, it's like a Sunday night used to be in Winnipeg way back when nothing was open when you came back after playing the Jets. You know, it's like that everywhere right now. And so, you know, I think the mental part is hard that way. I would a guy like Joe Thornton, he already missed games. You know, maybe due to injury, maybe some back-to-backs. You spot him and some of the veterans a little bit to get, you know, keep it going. But I think to your point, Justin, you do want to get everybody playing. So, you know, Per Engvall's funny. He's in and out of the coach's doghouse. Nick Robertson, you know what he can do. He can score goals. So, you know, all these different spices there. So I would look at a strategy incorporating all those because you bank some points. And I think, you know, that will keep everybody fresh and everybody ready. I don't, you know, the young guys don't need to miss games due to fatigue factor. It's more like if Austin Matthews went like his wrist wasn't 100% and he missed a game or two, that's the kind of stuff you can do for the final number of games they have in the regular season.
It's also a bit of a chess match, right? Like they play each other four times in the next 2.5 weeks, essentially, right? And I guess you don't want to show all your cards, right? You don't want to, you know, it's hockey, right? There's some systems in place and there's some things you want to do and you don't want to necessarily showcase it all in the next four games when really, you know, we're staring down this matchup, right? Like I put the math out on Twitter yesterday. If Montreal wins four of its final nine games, Calgary has to go 7-1. Vancouver has to go 9-5, which is clearly doable. But, you know, Vancouver hasn't been a team that's winning, you know, a huge percentage of its games. So they're going to have to play above their weight at this point. So Montreal, even going sub 500, looks like they're going to lock into that fourth place. And the Leafs have a very good chance of locking into the first place. And that's why we're going on this premise. But how much of your hand do you want to show, Gord, in these next four matchups between Montreal and Toronto? Or are there things you're going to save, whether it's line configurations, different forecheck configurations, special teams, etc.?
Yeah, I think that's a real good point because it's weird that if Montreal was really struggling like maybe a week ago, it looked like for a playoff spot, there would be a lot more bite and edge to the Leafs having such a big factor controlling whether they get in or not. But otherwise, then you don't want to go the total other way that they turn into exhibition games. But I remember, I don't know if you remember years ago, that when the Leafs used to dominate the Ottawa dominated the Leafs in the regular season, and then the Leafs always broke their hearts or their fans' hearts in the playoffs. And there was Ottawa owned them. It might have been the best Ottawa team that didn't win. And the last regular season game was something like, I don't know, 10-3 Ottawa over Toronto. They just kicked their ass. And then the playoffs started, and Shane Corson was on Alexi Yashin, and the Leafs swept them in four. So I don't remember that, but I mean, that was the kind of thing that all of a sudden, what did it matter what Ottawa did all season long, dominating the Leafs, coming in first place, whatever it may be. And there's a little bit of that here, because you're right. It's about, you know, line combinations and that. You don't want to do it all there right now. You want to have, whether it's surprises or some other things, ready for the first game of the playoffs. So that's going to be a bit of a mix for both coaches. And, you know, both coaches, one's pretty new, one's relatively new.
A slick way to surprise your opponent is to throw a goaltender at them that they haven't seen in a long, long time. What do you expect is going to happen with Freddie Anderson? Like, he's on the ice. There's 3 weeks of hockey. He says he wants to get some game action. Where's the Leafs' crease sit heading towards the postseason?
Well, the good part is it sits with depth, which the last couple of years it was Freddie or bust. So, you know, you think of the Penguins years ago that Jeff Zatkoff actually started the first game, a number three goalie for them, and they end up winning the Stanley Cup. And so same with Grubauer starting a couple for Washington, and then Holpe took over and they won the Cup. So I hope Freddie gets some regular season games in. I can see a loyalty to Freddie to start the first game. Freddie sort of is symbolic of the Leafs having not their best efforts historically in the playoffs. He's a microcosm of what the team's done. But the point is, now you've got Jack Campbell. Yeah, you know, now you've got a couple of options that way after the trade as well. So in Riddick and that you can go to something else. You had nowhere else to go. Like, you know, we used to talk, hey, boy, Austin Matthews, you hope he doesn't get hurt, whatever. You hope the goaltender doesn't get hurt. You're screwed in the past if Freddie got hurt. Well, now they have a couple of viable alternatives, and I'm sure Sheldon Keefe, just like changing lines, will be quick to change goaltenders if it ain't happening.
That's all fair and true, although I have to imagine they're very desperate to get Freddie at least one game, if not more, before the playoffs. I mean, the fact that he hasn't practiced with the team since March 19th, I mean, we're going on close to 6 weeks now, so I imagine having the depth is great, but I'm sure they'd like to at least get Freddie tested to know that he is a viable option going into the second season. Gord, I got to ask you a question here about the identity of the Leafs. It's funny, the notion on Saturday of the Leafs being called a dirty team, which is, I laugh only because think about what their identity was a year ago to now. The last thing they would be accused of is being dirty. If anything, they'd be accused of being too clean a team in some respects. Have they effectively, in your mind, Gord, changed their identity? And I don't mean necessarily to come out of the North, because let's face facts, it's not the big, bad, bruising North Division. But if they get out of the North, they're going to be staring down a Washington, a Vegas, a Colorado, you know, a big, heavy type team. Do you feel this team can match up as they're currently constructed with those powerhouses in the NHL?
Yeah, I really do, David. And yeah, the word actually is soft. They were too soft a team, or the
perception. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, well, and they went away from that whole theory. Kyle Dubas even said that in the off season, like it was acknowledged about, you know, components of that were needed. Like bringing Matt Martin in didn't do the job because he stood out as a lone wolf, where you need you know, more of a contagious team effect. And that's why I just talked, you know. And it is funny. Even Paul Maurice kind of said, well, wait a sec. We can't be calling the Leafs a dirty team after just, you know, being challenged, being a soft team for so many for the last couple of years. And I remember having a good chat with Brendan Shanahan about this. And he's the perfect kind of guy you'd want on your playoff team. But he is always really big about the whole toughness part is overrated. I mean, you know what's tough? Chasing Patrick Kane down. That's exhausting, okay? And he wins three Stanley Cups. Trying to stick with Sidney Crosby, and he wins a couple of Stanley Cups. Like, you know, there's just these different components about it. But there's no question, and again, I go back to St. Louis, whether you want to call it a little bit of that hard hockey or whatever, heavy hockey, whatever it may be, you need that collectively on your team. And I think the last couple of games, they made a statement that way. And again, it's even like Rasmus Sandin, like anybody, like team-wise, just about that component of sandpaper, whatever you may need, they've got it to a bigger degree in 2021 than they've had it in the most recent era.
Would you want to see them tinker around here in the coming days? I think specifically about Willie Nylander. You know, last year, Game 5 against Columbus, the deciding game, they're like, oh, you're a centerman now, and you're the only centerman on this line, you know, because they put Tavares up with Matthews and Marner. Is this the time where you'd like to see some experimenting? Should we see Nylander play center a little bit here down the stretch?
Well, you know, I wouldn't see what happened last year. Just so the desperation, right? I mean, nothing was happening. I mean, Jason Spezza, right. To his total credit, started a fight because it was just so ridiculous. Somebody had to show some kind of fight, and he was the last guy you would expect to do it. And Nylander, it was almost an act born out of desperation because we kept watching it, going, okay, tonight they're going to kick in. Tonight they're going to kick in, and they never did. So if it comes down to that kind of just and desperate move in the playoffs, again, they're in big trouble. But again, whether, you know, you got Foligno, you've got Nylander, you've got some versatility with different players, and I certainly would put that in play in the next little while to keep your options personnel-wise and positionally open for the playoffs.
Again, we're setting up tonight's Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey game, the Leafs and the Canadiens. And Gord Stellick has a few more minutes with us, of course, the host and analyst on Leaf Nation pre- and post-game. And it's worth noting, Eric Engels just tweeted out that Dominic Ducharme says there's uncertainty regarding Tomas Tatar and Paul Byron for tonight's game. So the Leafs not the only one with a couple of injuries to concern themselves with. If you missed it earlier, we mentioned that Jonathan Drouin, a personal leave of absence, he won't be with the team for the next 10 games. And now Tatar and Byron questionable for tonight's game. When you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs top to bottom, you know, I think there's just so many good things to like about this team. Do you feel the guys right now, when you look at their top end players, Marner, Matthews, and now that Tavares is really getting going, that is the big differential between the Leafs and whomever they're going to play in the North Division? Obviously, Edmonton has their dynamic duo, which is phenomenal, but they don't have the depth up front that the Leafs have.
No, absolutely, David. And, you know, like on the Florida Panthers side, I know they're in a different division, but I'm looking forward to a guy like Barkov getting playoff time. I want to see Matthews and Marner get playoff time. These are great players. Matthews is, I think, as close to a superstar as there is in the league. And you know, to really effectively be that kind of player, you got to be in big games. You got to be in a lot of playoff games, you know, and you got to have a great ride through the playoffs. And, you know, they've had regular season. I mean, Mitch Marner, again, what's he in the top five in scoring? Like go out there, kick ass, go on the long run and have those great playoff rides where the spotlight's there and they matter more and the experience is infinitely bigger than a regular season, that because they've had none of that. And so I believe that is their edge, and I believe they'll win the division, and I believe that edge will be the factor. And the deeper you go with the exciting, excellent players in the NHL from any team, the better it is for hockey.
No doubt about that. And that brings me to my final question for you, which is just a general NHL overview. Who you got? Who do you like coming out of this team? I mentioned Tampa earlier. Is there one that you see as a cup favorite right now?
Yeah, well, I guess Tampa's an easy throwback, so I'm going to move on from then. Boy, I love what the New York Rangers have done, not only taking on the Bruins now, but the Islanders as well, making it, you know, a little bit unsettled there. It's going to be tough sledding, but they're trying to get through the front door. I've just been a huge fan of what Donnie Waddell's done in Carolina. And they got a high-profile owner. They got kind of a high-profile profile coach in Brind'Amour, and Don Waddell has just always been a low-key guy. And, man, I love watching their games. And you know, they've got a goaltending problem. They got three really good goaltenders right now. So that's a very happy predicament. They built well on the blue line. And so that is my – I'm not a surprise team, but that's kind of my one that has not won a Stanley Cup recently that I'll pick.
Gord, we're going to be listening to you and Nick Alberga tonight, Leafs Nation pre- and post-game. Remember, a Vancouver loss in regulation coupled with a Leafs win over Montreal, and Toronto will punch their ticket to the postseason. Thanks so much, Gord.
Hey, thanks, David. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Gord.
All right. There is Gord Stellick, Leaf Nation pre- and post-game analyst, and lots to dig into. We're going to dig in a little bit more into this North Division and the whole playoff complexion for a few moments when we return on Hockey Central, and then we're going to welcome in Marty Turco from the Dallas Stars, as the Stars are in a dogfight for the fourth and final playoff spot in that tough Central Division. It's all coming up, so keep it locked here. Of course, it's Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and it is Hockey Central. This is true. Hockey Central back on the airwaves. David Amber in for Jeff Merrick alongside Justin Bourne. And we have a big night in the North Division. Vancouver at Ottawa, Toronto at Montreal, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Edmonton at Winnipeg on Sportsnet West, Oilers region. All intriguing matchups for different reasons. But again, I want to dig in a little bit on the Jets, Justin, because should there be concern? Winnipeg, we all agree, will be a very tough out. You know, they have a Vezina-caliber goalie, incredible forwards. They have a great coach in Paul Maurice, and they seem to gel as a team as well as anyone. But they've lost four in a row, badly outscored, 18-5 in those games. And they're without Lowry, they're without Ehlers. They've pulled Hellebuyck twice in the last three starts. How concerned are you, Justin, about the Winnipeg Jets?
I would say quite concerned. You know, the look of their team is, there's no fooling anyone, right? They get all-world goaltending from Connor Hellebuyck, and when they don't get it, they don't win a whole lot. Also, they are built on the backs of having a loaded top-end forward group, and when you have Nikolai Ehlers out, who's, you know, Elliot Friedman has mentioned a number of times would have had him in his Hart Trophy consideration. Like, that's a massive, massive blow. I know. But also,
yeah, he mentioned Crosby, Barkov. He's mentioned about 20 guys, yes, for Hart consideration, but okay.
A very savvy radio thing or analyst thing is to call someone top five or top 10 in the league and then never actually think about who those names are because there's like 20 guys.
Who's coming off
there.
That list, exactly.
Yeah. But yes, anyway, the point is that they are supposed to be a top-loaded team. Without Ehlers, that's a huge blow for them. I don't know. It was already tough for me with that decor to see them finding their way deep into the playoffs. This is that really changes things.
Well, what scares me most isn't just that they're sort of flailing right now and the playoffs are looming. It's the potential matchup that looks to be, I wouldn't say it's locked in, but it's getting close to being locked in, is Winnipeg versus Edmonton. And let's face facts, this is a nightmare matchup so far for the Jets. They've played each other eight times. Tonight is the ninth and final time. In these previous eight matchups, Connor McDavid has had multi-point games all eight times. He's coming off a hat trick two nights ago, too. So they have not figured out a way to slow down Connor McDavid. I mean, granted, no one has found a way to slow him down, but specifically the Jets have been torched by 97. How much of a concern must that be?
Yeah, and that's a testament to like some of the other decors around the league. You know, Toronto's done a pretty good job with McDavid, and a lot of that success falls on guys like Justin Hall and Jake Muzzin. You know, they've been really good. Morgan Riley and TJ Brody. It's this decor in Winnipeg that's a problem. Like, he tests you. McDavid tests you every shift. He just kind of pokes and prods and looks for a weakness, and he can find them against that group, which puts the onus on the forwards to do more for them defensively, and you're right. Eight games and not being able to keep him under 2 points, that is absolutely an indictment against your strategy or your personnel against them.
So are you going to slam the McDavid plus 1.5 points tonight? Is that what I'm hearing here?
I am not because I'm so I just trends end, nothing lasts forever. I'm not buying it, so I don't know.
What's funny is, and it's funny you mentioned the Leafs and their ability to handle, certainly not contain, but handle Connor McDavid at times this year. And it hasn't just been the defensive core. Kevin Bieksa did a great job of showing how the Leafs forwards will essentially collapse. So they have this closing pressure through the neutral zone with the back pressure coming from the forwards. And then the defense will press up. So essentially you're forcing the puck out of his hands. It doesn't work all the time, but we know, we've seen it 1,000 times. Once this guy gets space in some open ice, he's gone. Like, that's it. Yeah. There's no one-on-one stopping him. So you better collectively not let him get that speed going. And the Jets are without Adam Lowry right now, and they're without Nick Ehlers. So those are two major concerns there. So listen, we did the math on this. Again, Montreal can just go 4-5, and they're putting incredible pressure on both Calgary and Vancouver to have any shot of slipping into that fourth spot. If you had to choose between Calgary and Vancouver, do you expect either of these teams to put a little bit of pressure on Montreal? And if so, which team?
You know, what's crazy here is, like, if I had confidence in any one of those teams, I would give it to them. But, like, Montreal has really been a huge question mark. Like, winning four of their last nine games is not a lock for me. You know, that Montreal team. And then the Flames have just disappointed at every turn. Every time they give you hope, they pull it away. So I guess the most realistic shot might be the Canucks, who, what did you mention off the top? They'd have to go 9-5 to get in?
They'd have to go 9-5. If Montreal goes 4-5, Vancouver has to go 9-5, which is certainly doable. But, I mean, let's face facts. They've played Ottawa their last three games, and they've lost in regulation two of those three games.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing to do here, David, is to bet Vancouver here. It's to bet Vancouver against Ottawa. They got to get one here and get started and make this interesting. they feel like a team that could, you know, you could talk yourselves into them finding a way based on the personnel they have, which is a pretty good roster. They still have lots mm-hmm. of good players. Their goaltending can get hot. They're the only one with the hope, but I think Montreal in the end finds their way through. But boy, it's three teams that you don't have a lot of confidence in right now, or me anyway.
Well, what could be very interesting is Montreal might go 4-5, and Vancouver, let's say, could be 5-5 and have the final four games to play out against Calgary and basically like sweep yeah. those four games and make the playoffs. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but certainly it's going to be interesting. Again, the Leafs will have some say in this. They play Montreal four times, and if they're going to tinker and rest guys and, mm-hmm. and, you know, not fully engage in these games, if they do, for all intents and purposes, wrap up first in the North, they're going to approach these games versus Montreal maybe a little differently than if something is on the line for them. So Toronto could have a definite say on whether Montreal is battling for that last playoff spot or will comfortably be in that last playoff spot. So speaking of last playoff spots, that brings us to our next guest we're going to be welcoming in a couple of minutes, and that's Marty Turco, special assistant to the president of the Dallas Stars. Dallas is in this incredible dogfight right now with the Nashville Predators for the fourth and final playoff spot in the Central. When Hockey Central returns, we're going to break it all down with Marty Turco, so keep it locked here. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back, Hockey Central, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Justin Bourne alongside David Amber. Great to have you along. And one of the great playoff chases that will be taking place over the next couple of weeks, the Dallas Stars and the Nashville Predators for that fourth and final playoff spot in the Central Division. Dallas 2 points behind Nashville. And get this, the Stars, well, they've got to try and track down Nashville. Their final seven games, all of them on the road. Three against Tampa, one against the Predators, two against Chicago, and one in Florida. Again, all of them on the road, so it will not be easy as we welcome in Marty Turco, Dallas Stars special assistant to the president. Marty, how are you?
I'm good, David, man. How you been?
Good. It has been a long time. And Marty, by the way, we used to do some work together over at NHL Network. What an awesome guy. It's great to have you here. We always laughed about our similar past back in Sault Ste. Marie, right? And mm-hmm. you know, it's good to hear your voice. I hope the family's safe. I hope you guys are doing well.
We're doing great, man. We're down in Texas, living our best life, thinking of everybody back in, I mean, around the world, but especially Ontario and Toronto and Sault Ste. Marie. But yeah, you came there for a short stint, man. I was there until I was 18 years old, so we had a similar but a little different path in the Sioux, but I always do enjoy talking to you about the Sioux hockey, and thank you for you and Justin for having me on.
Yeah, a little different, of course, but then you had to go down to Michigan, be a big star there, go blue, and then, of course, start in the National Hockey League as well. So let's get to the Dallas Stars. You know, such an epic run last year. It's been a bit more of a struggle this year, certainly. But walk us through this team and where they are, you know, psychologically, knowing the task at hand. 2 points behind the Predators and now have to finish with this epic seven-game road trip.
Yeah, epic, you know, that is a good word, buddy. We're, you know, we've had, you know, roller coaster, you know, Canada's Wonderland version of a hockey season. You know, missed the start of the year. You know, I'll try to go through this real quick. Missed the start of the year, COVID procedures, started at home, won our first four games, looking good, post Stanley Cup Finals, team season. Quick turnaround, and then we just hadn't played well until recently. And if it wasn't for April, you know, we were well out of it. You know, got to give Nashville a lot of credit. They've been winning a lot of hockey games. Both of us stumbled last night, which keeps this thing super interesting. But this season hasn't been without, you know, Ben Bishop, the number one goalie. We signed Anton Hudobin. He's looked good. He's looked terrible. He's been in between. You know, Seggy, you know, Tyler's been out as well. Radulov, for the most part, has been obsolete for the season. But, you know, there's been some shining moments, you know. Our captain in April, JB Benn's been great. I think the rookie of the year, the Calder front runner, should be. You know, Robertson here. Jason's been just a breath of fresh air. How I give him image is if I'm to go out in a pond or play street hockey or play anything that has to do with hockey, he's number one overall. The guy's just a winner. He just does all the little things, puts pucks in the right places, knocks guys off. He's not the fastest player. He's not even the flashiest, but he is a really talented, headsy guy. But the season's nuts, man. I mean, just if you say it out loud, how many games these guys have played, you know, in a week, back-to-back-to-back-to-back, you know, 4-6, I think something crazy like 4 times in a row, is absolutely nuts. You know, to go play the Carolina Hurricanes, they're super fast, talented, well-coached, back-to-back. We were just dead last night, and it's understandable. I mean, you're like, well, why is Carolina dead, too? You know, Miro Heiskanen has been great. Rupe Hintz, maybe our best player, has been in out of the lineup. So, you know, everybody has their issues. It's not just kind of give you the state of it. Mm-hmm. But we've climbed back in it. Nationals, I mean, it's probably maybe the only real significant race. I know there's a couple of chances of other divisions. But, you know, for us, we got, you know, we played Tampa a bunch of times, a big rival after going to playing them in the finals last year. We got Nashville Saturday night. Now, that's going to be the big one right now, being 2 points back, play them once with 2 games in hand. So it's a very compelling story, to say the least. We got a good squad. This is the time of year where Rick Bowness, the coach, who's just a great person, can keep things light, keep guys on their toes, and motivate them in what is I mean, I can't even imagine playing in a season like this. I mean, the only thing I can think of on a positive note is like, hey, I don't have to practice. I just have to play games. Sweet, I'm in. but my back and my hips are just starting to hurt thinking about what these guys are enduring. It's unfathomable, but across the board. But we get to watch NHL hockey, and the playoffs will be here before we know it. So we feel for the guys, but we yearn for just a little bit more because there's nothing like the Stanley Cup playoffs.
What are the things that this Dallas Stars team, that if they were based in Toronto or Canada, would be much bigger stories? What gets lost being down there? Like, just looking at that roster, like, Roope Hintz is over a point per game right now on top of all the other things he does for your team. Him and Robertson come to mind first off. Is there anything else, or are those two guys, am I kind of on track there?
No, you're on track. I mean, point per game. It's this day and age. It's not... And we've really had lack of scoring has been a, you know, concern for us for the, you know, better part of our season. So, you know, Roope does with his size and speed, like, there's just not too many people like him in the world. And we just got to keep him healthy, you know, just watching him. I'm pretty sure something's nagging on him all season. He just doesn't even have his top end speed, but he produces because he's just, he is that good. I think, you know, I mean, I've already talked about Robertson. I mean, I really do think, any other market or, you know, the mini guy he's really good. He's been kind of flatlined recently, but if he, didn't have quite that season, you know, Robertson, to me, I watch him every day. So, he's just a super talented guy. We're pretty lucky in the future department. Jake Ottinger, the goalie, really stepped up, played some meaningful minutes for us, a lot. I think, you know, if we were up there up north, he'd be a fan favorite. He's certainly fun to watch as young as he is in his young career, which is great. I mean, Klingberg's been, you know, he gives me heartburn at times because he plays has a flair for the drama. And as a goalie, I'm like, God, yeah, I love you because you put up points and you're so fun and you're amazing talent. But, you play on the high-risk side. But he's just a super talent. And, you know, Miro Heiskanen's been, you know, he missed a few games here and there. But for the most part, he's... you know, just struggled to score for a lot, and then he's turned it on as of late. So, you know, we're missing some veteran, but, you know, Joe Pavelski's having an amazing year. He's up almost up to that point too, scoring a ton of goals, chipping a mims seemingly from everywhere. The guy's got great hands. I've had to witness it on the golf course. The guy's just a good dude and doing really well for us. So we you know, we got a lot of good veteran presence. We've got some amazing young talent. So, yeah, if we were in Toronto, I think, you know, it'd be kind of the same, right? People yearning for just a little bit more, but pretty excited about, you know, where we're at considering injuries and how young some of our talented players are. It should bode well for the future. But, you know, when you got a guy like Jimmy Benn as your captain and can dominate, the future is now. You know, you got to take this guy and give him a chance to dominate come postseason once again.
We're talking with Marty Turco, Dallas Stars Special Assistant to the President, talking everything Stars as they're trying to make that last playoff push. They have to surpass the Nashville Predators, who have a two-point lead in the standings, Dallas with two games in hand. Tyler Seguin, Marty, he's practicing, from what I understand, non-contact jersey, but back with the team, or at least skating. Will he be making his season debut soon?
You think I know things, but I don't. So,
do you think he might?
My guess is he'll be playing some games. You know, he's been traveling, and now that we're on that epic road trip, as you said, he's with the boys. So it would be great to see him in there and get some, you know, somebody just fresh, right? I mean, who's fresh? There's nobody fresh in most of the organizations. So it'd be great to see Tyler back on the ice. He's had a long road to recovery, off-season surgery that was pretty significant. So, I mean, when I've seen him out there, I'm like, looks like he could play, but, you know, these guys are in the middle of a sprint of a season. So I think he'll be out there. How soon, I really can't say. I know they're talking about it. So, I mean, it'd be great to see him on the ice. That's all we know.
Yeah, he put in a lot of time with Matt Nichol here in Toronto, rebuilding his body and getting ready for a return. So let's hope he gets back out there, Justin.
Yeah, looking at the division you have here, let's say you do climb over the Nashville Predators. You're looking at one of Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay. Now, I wouldn't dare make you say, yeah, we want that team, because that's not at all the scenario. But just tell us about the top of this division, which David and I were talking about earlier. Looks like the strongest division in terms of Stanley Cup contenders. You know, where do those three teams stand amongst one another? I guess, again, not going to make you pick one, but looking at the three of them, how formidable are they as a group?
Well, Justin, what I can say is I don't want any of them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured you'd say.
Yeah, I don't want one. I don't want any. It's like, what a division, you know? And I think the happy thing for me to note is that if we do get into the playoffs, which I think we will, and if we get in there, we play all those games really good. I mean, Tampa, you know, they might return to their how they were playing last fall, the Stanley Cup playoffs and finals. They looked unbeatable. But you know, I think we could win four games off them, you know, with our lineup. Florida, I mean, I probably the most fun for me to watch. It's taken them a few years. They got some great people in the organization. They've been planning this for a while. They probably don't get any fanfare for that much, but I'll tell you, when I watch them, I'm just so impressed. How fast they are, even though they got a high-paid goalie, he's good. They got two good ones, in fact. You got a journeyman and then a Vezina Trophy guy. So they're no joke. Really, really like the way they play. And then, you know, we got a local owner here, Tom Dundon, who owns Carolina Hurricanes. I probably couldn't be more proud for him, just because, you know, what him and Don Waddell and obviously Brendan Moore have done there with that team. They've made some hard choices in that market to build a team that they wanted and they like. That's great for, you know, for their community and fan base. And they're good, man. I mean, they're really good. They play so hard. You know, obviously having a leader like Rod behind the bench, not just on the mental side, but on the physical side as well. They demand a lot of those guys, and they're good. So, I mean, to answer the question, it's like nobody. But, again, we can beat all three of those teams. I know that, you know, in my heart. And this is kind of like – this is the first time since growing up. This is the way it is, right? Division against division against division, and then the Final Four emerge. And, I remember thinking how good the Flames Oilers were in the 80s, watching them having to beat each other up in the second round. It was kind of like the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, and – poor Winnipeg, with great teams back then. They just couldn't get out of that division, the Smythe division, fast enough. So it is such a fascinating year for so many compelling reasons. And you look at our division just in particular, might not be, you know, big hockey markets per se, but, I mean, great teams. So if we get the good fortune of having a chance at Stanley Cup, we're going to have a – it'll be one heck of a ride if we can make it all the way.
Well, Marty, we only have a couple more minutes before we got to say goodbye. So one last question for you. And really quickly, I just wanted your thoughts. You're certainly not going to sneak up on anyone if you do make the playoffs after the great run you had last year and knocking off a great team like Colorado. If it comes down to that final game in May in Chicago, who would be the goaltender for the Dallas Stars that night, Ottinger or Hudobin?
Wow. You know, I haven't thought about it. You know, it'll come down to between now and then, clearly. But if I had to pick today, which I think is your question, and you said answer fast, so I will. I think I'd give it to the kid, just because that experience is unreal. He's been pretty unflappable this year, and you know, even though experience is sometimes not all that's cracked up to be, I just would like to see him in that moment. But again, if Dobie's playing great and whatever, but right now, Jake Ottinger, love the kid.
It would be quite an epic scene if it comes down to that final night at the United Center for a spot in the playoffs on the line. Listen, Marty Turco, we always love having you here, and can't wait to catch up with you in person when things get back to normal a little bit. Thanks so much for your time here on Hockey Central.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you guys stay safe. Thanks, Justin. See you, David. Appreciate it.
All right, be well. So there's Marty Turco, Dallas Stars special assistant to the president. And, Justin, that's one of the great races in the last couple of weeks. We only have about 45 seconds here. What's the number one thing of all the playoff implications you're keeping an eye on down this stretch here in these final 2 weeks? What's the one that really has you excited?
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, David, it's here in Toronto and just seeing what the heck everyone's going to do with this team. Like, who's going to sit out? Is Sandin going to be the guy? Is Freddie Anderson going to get a game? You know, there's a lot of roster shuffling to be done here, and for a team that's supposed to win, big decisions.
There is no lack of intrigue. The intrigue continues tonight. Toronto and Montreal, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Thanks for tuning into Hockey Central. We will catch you tomorrow with more.